This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Cullen Steele, coordinating and supervising behind the scenes. I want to tell everybody at 4:30 today, we'll have Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of Are You Serious Sports Network. We'll talk a little bit about, LSU, number one in the country in women's basketball. They're recruiting psycho hits. And, man, Kim Mulkey, she hit gold today. Of all four recruits are five-star players. We'll talk to him about that, along with also LSU's game as they play the Florida Gators this coming Saturday. And then at 5:20, Brad Evans from BetMGM Tonight will be on with us, giving some odds for the weekend. And at 5:40, Ali Cosell, who covers the Pelicans in the NBA. 6 o'clock, it'll be pregame for the Pelicans, Oklahoma City Thunder, and at 6:30, tip-off. Steve, we got the injury report for the Saints and some good news.
Yes,
at
sir.
Least Kool-Aid McKinstry and Eric McCoy. It was limited, but they were there.
Yeah, and Coach Darren Rizzi said after practice, the fact that both are trending in the right direction. Obviously, huge positives for the black and gold, especially along the offensive line. You've talked about it so much, how much that center position means.
No question about it. I think that is the key to any offensive line, to have that center. He directs traffic. He's the quarterback up front. He's making all the calls, and then he sees things happen, so he tells it to the guards. The guards tells it to the tackle. And then another thing, too, a center does, Kevin Mawai told me this, he said, Mike, a lot of times quarterbacks kind of get excited. They get in a moment, and part of my job when I was a center, calm down. Calm down. Good and bad. Just calm down. And he said, they emotional like everybody else, and they get frustrated too. He said that was part of it. But Eric McCoy, he's a stud player. He could start for any of the other 31 teams, if not at center, at left guard or right guard. He's that good of a player. I'm not sure you could say that about anybody else 27 years of age or younger on this roster. Now, Fuaga, he might have a shot. And I think eventually he's going to be a big-time player for him. But, get Eric McCoy back. This running game has never been the same since he went down very early in that Eagles game.
Yeah, definitely. And also limited today, Mike, was JT Gray. He's dealing with a hip issue. You mentioned Kool-Aid. Jordan Howden is shoulder limited. Also Cedric Wilson Jr. with a shoulder injury. Full go was Nephi Sewell. He's coming back from a knee issue and then not practicing. Guard Lucas Patrick, linebacker Pete Werner, and running back Jamal Williams. Still, he's dealing with that groin issue, but for me, you might as well keep him on the shelf. He ain't done nothing all year.
No, I agree. And Pete Werner,
I'd rather see Mims get the reps.
Yeah, he's been more productive when they've given him a shot. At least he stays healthy. The thing is, watch for Pete Werner as the week goes along.
That's
man,
a too.
This linebacker core works a lot better with DeMario and Pete. Man, people, he's underrated as a player. He's always around the football. Sometimes he gets exploited in the pass cover part of the game. But, man, he's instinctive. He can run the field well. He's a good open field tackler. And him and DeMario is kind of a Batman and Robin deal. They almost think along the same wavelengths to one another. And I think this defense plays a lot better with Pete Werner in the lineup. He's that good of a player.
Definitely helps improve the tackling, which has been shoddy for this black and gold bunch. And man, oh man, they're definitely going to need to tighten up the run game this week. Again, you got another tough running back, I feel like, with Nick Chubb coming to town. Even though he hasn't been healthy this year all the way.
Man, you know, I saw that devastating knee injury he had a year ago. Nick Chubb was in the conversation, excuse me, for the best running back in the National Football League before he went down. And he was the straw that turned the offensive drink for him. The Browns had to redo their offense because Nick wasn't there. They became more of a passing team. And with Flacco, he liked to throw that short, more the intermediate, I should say, than the short route. And so they changed. But, man, I'm interested to watch Nick. When you have that type of injury, you're never quite the same.
Exactly.
But, man, he is still good. Man, I go back a long way with Nick when he was coming out of high school and he signs with Georgia and, you know, him and Sony Michel were splitting time. Boy, did the Bulldogs have a backfield back then with those two guys. But Nick was the guy I liked because, man, he was a tough guy. He could run between the tackles. He had great field vision. And you get him out in the open field, you're going to have a difficult time bringing him down one-on-one.
Yeah, definitely a big boy. Only person limited for the Cleveland Browns today, Mike, guard Joel Bitonio with a pectoral issue.
And then he's a good player.
They list four other guys as a full go, so you're fully expecting a Jordan Hicks, a Jerry Jeudy, Dorian Thompson-Robinson is the backup to Jameis Winston, and then you also have Jarek Willis, the tackle with a knee issue. So just really one person I think maybe could be in danger of missing the game for them and Joel Bitonio.
Yeah, Bitonio's a really good offensive guard. If he's not a pro bowler, he's close. He's in that conversation. And he was limited today, you say, Steve?
Yeah, limited pectoral issue.
And, man, the big disappointment has been Jarek Willis. You know, he came out, and I think a lot of people felt he would be a perfect fit for the Browns because the one thing he did real well, run block. But, man, if you got a pass protect and he got some issues, some real issues, you can see with his feet, his body balance, he's all off balance. And he doesn't, man, strike you hard with that hand and sort of slow you down. But, man, he can run block. He's a really good run blocker. But pass protection, ooh-wee, they're getting around him pretty quick. If I'm the Saints, I load up on that side. When I see him there.
You mentioned with the running the football, that's been my biggest, I guess, concern with the defense for the Saints. It seems like the rushing lanes are just wide open where guys are getting 3-4 yards before even contact. And whereas a few times in the Dome, even against Atlanta, you saw, you know, Bijan getting the ball and he just got tripped up, but there was a whole lot of green ahead of him, which could have been a lot worse. And they still had a heck of a day. I think it was right 5.8 yards per carry or something like that against the Saints. That has been a huge downer this season. Other than that, turnovers have been a plus for the black and gold, and I thought the pressure on the quarterback was better this past game, but still Kirk Cousins had a decent outing, but nothing really to write home about.
He didn't look settled.
Right.
And he was high on those early throws. If you watch, man, he was sort of sailing them. And normally that means his feet are not set, and he might have been tippy-toe throwing too. But I think – I talked to Bobby about this. I really believe in the offseason, this team's got to look at a big man in the middle, a defensive tackle that can stop the run. Yeah. Because if not, you're going to have problems again. Now, again, Brissé, I get it.
Pass rusher.
Athletic, pass rusher. He could run the field very well. But he's not your typical run stuffer. This team has to use an early round pick or free agent money on a big guy in the middle to stop the run.
Yeah, it seems like there's going to be a bunch of needs going into next season that you're going to look at with this squad. I mean, shoot, right now you look at wide receivers a question mark. We don't know what's up with Chris Olave. his future, I will say at least, but it doesn't look good for the young guy that's had so many concussions early on already.
You be real careful with that, and you know, you get the best information you can, and he'll make that decision when he feels comfortable that he can come back. I think he'll be back, but just when? Will it be after 4 weeks,
yeah,
or will it be the entire season? Chris, a good football player.
He's supposed really to be good. Seeing a specialist. That was either, I think, yesterday or today, so we'll find out more, I'm sure, eventually.
But that scares the daylights
sure.
out of you. Anytime you get that many times. I know Bobby's had, I think he told me 14, but he's never had more than one in a season. Mm. And even that's sort of scary when you got that many concussions sort of piled up. That ended the career of Roger Staubach. I don't remember another guy talking about a head injury ending his career before Roger. And they said, you know, Roger Staubach's going to retire. I was like, what? I mean, I watched him play. He's still really good. But then, you know, he brought up the fact he had, I think, a couple concussions in, like, back-to-back games. And that was it. He went to see a specialist, and the specialist told him it's best you walk away while you – but, you know, you got your brain functions
right.
in line. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillia along with Steve Geller, Colored Steel running things behind the scenes. And we had talked about the concussion issues, certainly going through with Chris Olave. And like I said, I remember with Roger, and he was the first guy that walked away from the game with it. And then we saw two other quarterbacks later on. Bob sent me a little text about it that it was Troy Aikman and Steve Young. They both left.
Right.
But Staubach was the first guy. And that's when, man, they didn't protect you. You got walloped in that pocket in those Staubach days. So it is something to be, you know, certainly we saw what happened with Tua and the precautions there. So, man, it's, again, personal decision, and hopefully that thing can resolve itself. They can find the right helmet to fit him that will at least aid him in that particular deal. One of the things, too, Steve, we talked about it Monday, is the development of Trevor Penning at the right tackle position.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you got to give these guys credit for really developing him, and certainly John Benton, Rick Dennison, longtime offensive line coach, and Jari Evans, who's on the staff too.
And going into the Ring of Honor this weekend.
Yeah, sure enough. But one of the things, man, I remember Zach telling me this, Zach Strief. He said, Mike, Trevor Penning's rookie year, he said, he got about 20% of the reps that I got in 2006.
Wow.
That's how things have changed as far as practice time in the NFL today.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't know how they expect these linemen to develop when they don't have a lot of practice time. He said, especially in training camp when you got so many of them. But you're starting to see his development. We knew he could run block. The big issue that I saw with him is, one, his body balance was all off. He didn't have a strong base. And his hand punch almost was like, come out. Instead of you doing the hitting, somebody's moving you back. He gets those arms out quicker now. And you're seeing a guy, and I need to see a little bit more sample size with him, but I think you're starting to see a guy who is looking like he can be a pretty solid player as a starter for you at right tackle.
I think confidence obviously key, and like you mentioned,
he
with those coaches there are helping, I guess, instill that back into him because, yeah, last game, I'm sure you saw the grades from Pro Football Focus. I was shocked to see the number one rated Saint in that Atlanta Falcons game. Boom, Trevor Penning. So good things hopefully continue for him, and we see that development. But, yeah, I think the coaching staff that they brought in along the offensive line, they give them a ton of credit for helping develop and, like I said, renew that confidence that was just sucked away from Penning.
Yeah, you didn't see any of that
no.
last year when Doug Marrone was coaching that offensive line. But, man, John Benton, Rick Dennison, Jari Evans, they've done a good job here. And also you got a rookie left tackle. Think of that. You not only have to work a lot with Trevor, you also have to work a lot with Taliese Fuaga to get him ready because it's new to him, the left tackle position. And so those two seasoned guys and the old pro himself, they had quite a job to do. But, man, I'm encouraged to see what I've seen from Trevor Penning so far this season. We'll be back with more Sports Talk. And when we come back, we'll have on with us Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of RU Sirius Sports Network, covering the LSU scene right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Cullen Steele also with us, helping everything roll. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, we have on with us Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of RU Sirius Sports Network. Blake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Before we get into some LSU football talk, maybe, man, kind of break it down. Today it was official, the number one ranked women's basketball recruiting class. And, man, Kim Mulkey, 4 5-star recruits. Blake, that's never happened.
You know, Mike, it's like when I play the video game and I go on a recruiting bender, you know what I mean? Unrealistic until it becomes realistic,
that's
you know?
That's
it. Fantastic. Mike, I mean, look, she said that when she got here, I'll never forget in her introductory press conference, she said, well, I'm going to recruit the best and we're going to be the best. And I just kept thinking about that every time she lands. These 5 stars, and Mike, she's not stopping. You know, she's already trending to potentially have a top 3 class in next year's cycle, too. So her and Gary and the staff are really rolling.
Blake, when you look at recruiting for LSU football-wise, we know the big man, the defensive lineman that they're after. Is there another name or two we should keep our eye on that possibly could get signed in December for that 2025 class?
Yeah, Mike, I think Solomon Thomas, the big offensive lineman, is somebody that people need to get very familiar with very quickly. You know, he had committed to Florida State in the beginning of the football season over LSU, when now with Florida State's, you know, mishaps and Alex Atkins, his offensive coordinator and position coach, also being let go. Mike, I firmly believe that LSU is going to be, I don't want to say it's the top right now, Mike, but if I were a betting man, I'd put some money on that LSU is going to be leading this one going into the month of December. Miami's still going to get in there, but as of right now, Solomon Thomas, who is a top 50 player in the country at guard, is going to be another guy that we need to keep our eyes on. And then, Mike, just some of these senior evals in the state of Louisiana, I'm interested to see what they pull out here late in the process. You know, they went and got – they're going to continue to do that, especially at safety. I would look out for that a little bit to see what they do in state. But if there's a big name that I'm looking for, and especially, Mike, not being able to run in the interior of your offensive line right now, I think Solomon Thomas has got to be the number one player we got to keep our eyes on.
This week feels different, Blake, when LSU plays Florida. Man, this at one time was a huge game for LSU, and Florida became a heated rival because of how the games sort of ended and then all the controversy with the hurricane and everything else. So I look at it a little different. It is a must-win for LSU. Come on, you can't let Florida beat you this week. But one of the things I see different with Florida, when I looked at yearly rivalries that have produced the most NFL players over the last 11 years, LSU-Alabama's one, number one, 179. Ohio State-Michigan, 154. Alabama-Auburn is 3, 147. You know what's fourth? LSU-Florida with 141.
Wow.
So think of that in the yearly rivalry games. They are fourth in producing the most players to the NFL. But look at a drop-off we have started to see over the last 3 years. They had 3 draft choices in 2022. They did have 6 in 2023. Last year, 1. 1. Look at that roster and tell me how many they're going to have in 2025. Maybe one. Maybe another one.
Maybe. I mean, Mike, I can't think of anybody on film right now that I'm trying to, you know, Mike, the problem is I'm trying to think of one, and then now I can't think of one after all the film I've watched on him this week. I can't really think of one. Maybe the Mizell kid at receiver, maybe. I mean, Mike, I'm being pretty generous.
Yeah. He's a maybe.
Right, and I'm being very right.
And maybe
so you're right. No, I don't think there is any.
And maybe if one of the junior linemen come out, there's one there that I think we'll think about it. But, man, Blake, the drop-off in talent in the recruiting part, and some of that certainly, listen, it falls at the feet of Billy Napier and certainly the guy before him who didn't do any recruiting in Dan Mullen. I mean, he basically didn't. And now you're starting to see the after effects of that. Other than run the football pretty well, I don't think Florida does anything well on offense or defense.
I'll tell you this, though. That ball kid, the running back, 13,
yeah, he's
that
good.
Kid is a bull, man. He's a bull in a china shop. I mean, look, I know LSU's had some I don't want to say luck, but they've had some good games when teams have just tried to line up and run the ball on them. This ball kid's different, though, Mike. I mean, this kid can get to the outside and be physical. He can run in between the tackles. I'm going to be a little honest with you. Because of all the eye candy that Florida's going to show you this week and with the jet motions and sweeps, my dead kid can go downhill quickly. And over four quarters with him and John – not Johnson, the other kid, but with him and the other one, they're going to lean on you a little bit. But that kid – who is a freshman, by the way, Mike, he'll lean on you now. So I don't – you know, they've been physical in the running game. But, Mike, here's the thing, though. They can't stop the run to save their lives either. So they can run it a little bit. And, Mike, I know we have troubles running the football. But, Mike, I'm going to bust a gasket if we can't run the football a little bit this week. But they got some dudes up there up front that can run the football, though.
Yeah, they that's the one thing they can do well. Other thing, too, man, watch them in coverage. Oh, my God, they give you all kind of room. Man, LSU should throw a lot of underneath stuff because that is going to be open for the Tigers. When you look at this game, most likely DJ Lagway is going to play. I know he's been dealing with a hamstring injury. He was one of the top recruits in the country. He was the Gatorade Player of the Year in Texas, Mr. Texas coming out. He's been thrown into the position to be the starter because of the injury to Graham Mertz.
Right.
I don't think you could say he's necessarily a runner. He stays in the pocket a lot. I think he runs out of there when he got pressure, but he's not necessarily what I would consider a runner at quarterback.
He is not, and you know, he's got that bazooka of an arm. You know, we saw that against Georgia when he hit, you know, Georgia had the interception, then he hit Mizell on the post for a touchdown. He's going to stay in there. He's going to want to throw the ball. And, Mike, you know, this week with that hamstring, I mean, even if he did want to run, how likely is it that he's going to want to, or even if they want him to run the ball? But, Mike, something that's interesting this week, Billy Napier, you know, was asked about them going to Wildcat last week at the end of the game. And, Mike, I'm not saying that, you know, Florida's going to do that a lot against LSU, but they had success last week a little bit against Texas. And I'm wondering with DJ's health status, you know, how much do they try that early because you've had those issues? I don't know. But in reference to DJ, you're right. He's going to force the ball down the field. And he's going to throw some deep shots, and you got to be ready. You can't let anybody get behind you. And look, they got some speed at receiver. He's just not the guy who's been beating you. His style is not the style that's been beating you the last couple of weeks.
No, not at all. Boy, that wide receivers, I'm watching them. They don't run good routes. Okay, a 10-yard route, they run 13. And sometimes the 10-yard route is at 7. My thing is, man, no wonder you can't complete a pass. You know, either throwing it over their head or it bounces in front of them. Steve?
Blake, right. Just wondering your opinion here. You mentioned the LSU run game. Has it been an issue with the talent? Is the offensive line a problem, or is it just a lack of commitment to sticking with this run game?
I think a little bit of both, Steve, but there is a problem in the interior. You know, I'm not to call out players, but I think definitely in the very center part of it, pun intended, you know, you've had some issues. You know, when you look at DJ, I just don't know if you know, not being a center in his entire career and then going into it now has worked for him necessarily. But, I mean, they've had a massive issue in the interior. The thing for me, though, about the running game is I don't – look, I know we've had issues. You face a really stout defensive line. The problem that I have is that you're 130th in the country in run attempts. So adjusted EPA per play per run, LSU is 29th in the country in rushing yards. So what does that mean? Against in the last 5 weeks, they have actually, if you adjust their run calls versus everybody else's, they're 29th. So that's with continuing to run outside zone with Caden Durham. I got to be honest, I don't know why they. I feel like they think that like they're pressing so much to like either extend a game against A&M or they're trying to run the football when they're down and they only get like 2 yards and they panic and not run against Bama. But again, like there's something to be said. I mean, guys, if I would have told you this time last week that LSU would have 20 carries for 5.4 yards per carry and go over 100 or right at 100 yards rushing, we would have taken that. But the simple nature that they don't stay with it in some instances, I think is a little bit head scratching to me. And then, here's the thing, too. I don't understand why. So you get down in the red zone in the beginning of the game, and then you run the ball into the interior twice where you've had issues instead of attacking the perimeter with two really good tackles, yeah, better than anything that you have in the interior. So I think it's a little bit – I do think the interior has kind of gotten a little out-physical, you know, in these situations, but – you know, the thing that I will continue to go by this week or just any week, guys, you're running the ball for 4.5 yards a carry more on the outside than you are on the inside. So you are having success. All of Caden Durham's runs, 5 yards plus, have not come in between the tackles. They have come outside the tackles. Well, a running back with speed needs to get outside and use his speed. So, Steve, I think it's a little bit of both, but – when you turn on that All-22 copy from last week and you see DJ Chester, it's not a pretty film.
Right. No, it's not. He looks lost on exactly where who he's got to block and when. Hear it clicking in his head. He's thinking too much and he's confusing himself on that part.
Well, Mike, and not to defend him on some of these things. Brian Kelly was asked this 2 weeks ago, and he didn't go into too much depth, and I wish he would have, because someone asked him about Garrett changing things with 8 seconds left on the clock. Okay, I'm not trying to give anybody an excuse, but at the same time, like, somebody put the stat out there on Twitter, I don't even know what it is anymore, but they had checked like 40% at the line, 10 seconds or less, meaning Garrett, on some type of protection, where DJ's trying to scramble. They ain't got nothing to do with you being bullied in the running game, but there does come a part where, okay, if I go to the line and check something, I mean, how quickly is he able to process? Not necessarily does he know what to do, but, Mike, I think you're right. He's thinking way too much. But when he does know, Mike, let me give an example. The Caden Durham outside run, okay, in the beginning drive, he had a pancake. Right, like, I mean, it's on film. You saw him. I mean, he dominated. But, Mike, every time that there's something, when they go to the line and he's got to adjust, he has massive issues. And, I mean, I guess it's just being a young player. But, I mean, Mike, the plays where you line up and you run, he has success. It's when you're getting into something a little bit more complicated that he's not having those issues. I would say even the A&M game, too, they ran counter behind him. He goes the opposite direction. Well, that was a check. Running back moves to the other side. They check it. They go the other way. And he doesn't have success there either.
One of the things, Blake, they didn't take advantage last week. And it was a total breakdown across the board. But Alabama has given up big plays in the passing game to everyone. Everybody right. Tested and beat their secondary. Now, that game got out of hand real, real quick. How much you think with Corey Raymond, who was on that staff the last 2 years and knows that secondary and knows some of the players on defense will aid LSU?
Oh, yeah. Mike, what you paying him $500,000
a year,
dude. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to be rude, but, I mean, you know this and I know this with the coaching turnover. I'm sure there's going to be call changes and, you know, with the helmet and comms, I'm sure it's different. But at the same time, you know that he knows. And, Mike, you're right. And even if Corey wasn't on the staff, okay, the Ron Roberts special, okay, in reference to their defense, is they're going to play off coverage. Mike, in a playoff
always.
Game, I mean, he always does it. I mean, the biggest argument, you can ask Pete Golding this, the biggest argument that they had at Southeastern was not playing bump and run man-to-man coverage. That was their biggest argument. And Dave did it too, meaning Aranda, who he was under him too. But I think that definitely Corey knows the more personal parts of this DB room that you got to attack. And, Mike, they are dead last in the SEC in tackling, by the way, at corner. They're not that great at safety either. So, I mean, you got two big body wide receivers. You got to get the ball to them. If they're that bad tackling outside at that perimeter, you got to get it to them quickly.
That's one thing from Saturday's game, to not take advantage of testing early and often the cornerbacks for Alabama. Because then you guys, they don't have a lot of depth. They knew at safety too. And everybody had success, but you didn't have it. And again, the game got out of hand. You couldn't stop Milroe, and that's kind of the storyline with it. But man, you're not playing Milroe this week. That guy's going to stay pretty much in the pocket. You know he's not going to run away, but you got to stop the run first and foremost.
No doubt, Mike. I mean, the stat that we've used all week has been in the seven losses that Brian Kelly has had in the SEC, teams have had 275.14 rushing yards on them. That's not just a running quarterback issue either.
No, it's not.
Because last year, Ole Miss came in here and busted one off on you. Rocket Sanders had a 65-yard run on you, okay? And then Ulysses S. Bentley, the law firm, okay, of Ulysses S. Bentley III, okay, literally had one from 50 yards at midfield. Mike, it hasn't spare me on the, it's the running quarterback. No, they're out of gaps. They're out of assignment. They're out of leverage.
Yep.
And so those are the reasons why they continue to get beat there. Mike, I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't think we're going to lose to Florida, but at the same time, if you continue to allow team, I feel like every time, here's how I say, every time a team out-physicals us and is more physical, we have a problem. And that's the game that Florida wants to play.
I agree with you. Blake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great insights, and I appreciate your time, buddy.
No problem. Anytime, guys. Thank you.
All righty. Cheers, Blake.
Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of Are You Serious Sports Network, covering the LSU Tiger scene. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number one right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, we want to thank Blake Ruffino. Always does a great job covering the LSU scene. And at 5:20 this afternoon, we'll have Brad Evans on from BetMGM Tonight, giving us his thoughts on this weekend's game. And Ali Cosell covers the NBA and the Pelicans right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTeglia along with Steve Geller, Cullen Steele, manning things behind the scenes. We'll tell everybody at 520, Brad Evans from BetMGM tonight will be on with us. 540, Ali Cosell, who covers the Pelicans. And at 6 o'clock, right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app, it'll be the pregame show between the Pelicans and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And
Tough one tonight.
Whew, man, they loaded. You talk about a team that's got some talent. It's Oklahoma City, and it was a teardown and a rebuild. But, boy, they've done a nice job with the selections they had to pick the right players. And, you know, last year they got some experience in the playoffs.
Right.
You got to walk down the basketball aisle a little bit. I think they make a pretty good run this year. With that talent they have, Steve, I think they make a run.
No, I definitely believe OKC's legit, too. They're atop the Western Conference right now, along with the Phoenix Suns. And unfortunately, you know, this Pelicans squad is so undermanned right now, you feel like it's going to be slim to none that they have a chance against the Thunder squad right now, that I think they're just without Chet Holmgren at the moment. I don't think he's playing this evening.
I think I saw the line. It was 14.
Really?
14.5.
14.5. I checked ESPN earlier. It's the biggest line of the night.
Oof. Mo Nitti. Let me signal out this caller. He said, Mike, LSU had no running game last year. He's absolutely right. Their running game was Jaden Daniels,
right.
Okay, and a lot of that was improvisational. And it sort of masked the fact LSU wasn't real physical last year either. Now, they didn't have as many problems in the middle because you had a veteran center. You had a guy there that had played there the last 2 years. But Jaden Daniels, you know, when you rush for over 1,100 yards, where are you going to get that 1,100 yards at?
And a lot of it, up, right?
Okay, when you watched him, man, he looked downfield. If Malik wasn't open, O'Brien, I'm taking off running. And then you see him 60 yards downfield afterwards. He masked a lot of what we found out today is Samir's up front, the lack of physicality.
Yeah, it's been rough to watch the Tigers right now, Mike. I know, obviously, in previous years, you know, long ago, they were known for their running backs in the run game, and that just hasn't been the case of late.
That's why, you know, it's going to be crazy. You potentially could have two guys going in the first round, Will Campbell and Emory Jones. But that's going to be a rebuild next year because you're going to have two new tackles. Emory and Will's not coming back, so you're going to have two new tackles there. And so you're going to have to sort of redo things and talk about playing freshmen or redshirt freshmen tackles. That's what you're looking at next year for this football team.
Even with the struggles that this team has had, the LSU Tigers, do you think both of those offensive linemen are still going to be first-round picks?
I know Will will. Not to repeat, but right, Will will. Right. there's a little bit of debate where he's better at.
Okay.
Is he better at guard than tackle? Man, I'd play him at tackle and say, prove you can't play there. He's good technically. You can see the technical skills in him. His footwork is really good. His body balance, I would give him probably a 7+. And that sometimes he gets walked back, but, you know, that's not unusual for a left tackle. What I'd like to see is a little bit more physicality with him as a run blocker, but he's a powerful guy. He's going to test out through the roof as his intelligence. He's a really good athlete for a big man, too. Just take a look at him. Does he look like a 310-pound guy?
Right.
No, he doesn't. He looks like a thin guy. And so, you know, we'll see. It depends on which team would take him. But I would play him at left tackle and say, okay, if it doesn't work out there, I can always kick you inside. With Emory, I've always felt right guard is his spot. But you needed him at right tackle. And I think he's done a pretty solid job there at the right tackle position. I think of the two, Emory's the more physical guy as a run blocker. I think Emory, you can tell, you know, by his body build and the way he kind of comes off the snap. He's a more physical player at the point of attack right now. But Campbell is the better pass protector. That ain't even a debate on that particular part.
No, I remember early on, at least to start the season, folks were talking about he could maybe be a top 10, top 5 pick.
Will Campbell?
Yeah.
I think he might still be.
Okay.
No, listen, that second season, I always tell Bobby, you even if you maybe don't have a great year,
yeah,
you can catch up. You can catch up. I mean, it's not about playing anybody. It's about how well you work out, how well you interview.
Right.
It's a job interview. I tell it to guys that call me that go for these interviews, if it's for the combine or if they go to a particular team. Hey, don't cut up. Understand this is a job interview. You're going there to impress a boss or a might be boss when you go visit these teams. And they don't want to have that in the back of their minds. But some of them, you can tell them, it don't sink in real well. Because I've had guys in other teams tell me, man, so-and-so, he wasn't a great interview at all. And, you know, you got an agent that's coaching you what to say.
Right.
And you're still messing this up? Come on.
Yeah, I can't imagine cutting up when, you know, you got a, you know, NFL organization wanting to potentially draft you. I thought it would be, you know, pretty much all serious, all business for guys. But I don't know. I don't understand either.
Steve, that's a no. That's a no, Steve. It don't work that way. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We have on with us Brad Evans.
Best bets.
BetMGM tonight, right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Cullen Steele. And on our Oakwood Hard Jewelers talk and text line is the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports, BetQL Insider Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen in to the BetMGM Tonight podcast for more analysis. Just search BetMGM Tonight wherever you find your podcasts. Brad, how you doing today, partner?
Hola, amigos. I am splendid. I am spectacular. Hope you guys are doing well.
Doing well. Brad, right off the bat, I'll throw it to you. Thursday night game, interesting. Washington Commanders, Philadelphia Eagles. I saw today Marshawn Lattimore won't play, and that didn't surprise me. It's a short week, and I think they're keeping him for the next game. Your thoughts, Eagles, Commanders?
Yeah, it's going to be a barn burner, guys. I really believe that. Line currently right now at BetMGM, a 3.5 in favor of Philadelphia. Over-under sitting at 48.5. I actually kind of like to lean to the land down under on this game. I don't think it's going to be a shootout, given the short week of preparation, familiarity, really, both of these squads. And the Commanders, even without Lattimore, they've greatly improved defensively here last couple of weeks. In fact, since week 6, they are top 15 in pass EPA defense. That sounds like, too, they're going to get Robinson Jr. back in that backfield, a tandem with Austin Eckler. So that's a major shot in the arm for this team. I think Philadelphia's going to win. I think they're going to maybe not cover, though. I think that Captain Hook is going to come into play here. So I like a Washington plus 3.5, but I like the Eagles straight up on the money line. I think the advantage you're going to have is run the football. Bread and butter of that team with Saquon Barkley and, of course, Jalen Hurts and what he can do with the legs. A.J. Brown working outside against Sanders still. I think it's going to have the enormous advantage. Love him in the anytime touchdown market at plus 105. Devontae Smith should have a decent game as well. So fly, Eagles, fly, gentlemen. I'm going to take Philadelphia on the money line, but I think Washington covers. Again, anytime touchdown market, I'm down with some A.J. Brown.
Yeah, go locally, the two games Saturday, Tulane Navy, LSU Florida. Well, let's go with Tulane Navy first. Man, this is a big game for Tulane to play Navy. And they're an unconventional team, Brad. You know, you don't see that much in college football even today. It's just a handful of teams that will run that style offense. Your thoughts on Green Wave going up against Navy?
Yeah, Navy's passing ball with a little bit more success than what they've historically shown. You know, it's not a true blue wishbone, left, right, up the middle offense. But they have been a bit of a rocky road here defensively, and I think that's the biggest issue for them against a high-powered Tulane team that can put points on the board. Tulane, top 35 in the nation, EPA per play offense, and also top 35 in the country, EPA per play defense. But Navy and that leaky defense, so number 72 in EPA per play defense, I think is going to be the difference maker in this one. I think they're going to keep it close. I like Navy covering the line right now, but I think Tulane will emerge victorious. I got it like 30-27 in the end.
LSU, Florida, you talk about flawed teams. And we talked about this last week, the deficiencies at Alabama. LSU couldn't take advantage of any of that. Milroe, he kind of took over the football game. But both these teams are flawed. You look at Florida defensively. Oh, my God, they can't stop the run. They give up so much of a cushion to a wide receiver. That would seemingly play into LSU's hands. But LSU can't stop the run at all. Your thoughts here on LSU, Florida?
Yeah, it's probably going to be a high-scoring game, given the defensive inadequacies of both teams. But you look at Florida, number 105 in the country in defensive success rate. And this seems like a get-right spot in my mind for the Tigers after they got just bludgeoned last week by the Alabama Crimson Tide. Roll Tide, indeed. You look at LSU, still top 10 in the country, EPA per play offense. You mentioned the flaws of the Florida defense, and that's going to be the difference maker in this one. LSU, and when firing all cylinders, they can really pile up the points in a hurry. I think they're going to score at least 35 in this one, guys. I got them winning, actually, 40-28 in the end. So I like the over on that total, and I like LSU laying the 4.5. So go Tigers. Take care of business for once this week.
Yeah, I like that over, to be honest. Point spread's one thing, but I like the over. Cullen?
Brad, we're going to switch it over to Sunday. This slate this week is incredible. What's keeping, you know, what are you eyeing the most? Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Steelers? What are you looking forward to the most, and what are you seeing?
Yeah, look, honestly, it's Chiefs-Bills, because I think this is the week that Kansas City falls in the ranks of the unbeaten. They have been very lucky here of late. I've seen the Denver game and the last-second blocked field goal for them to emerge victorious and remain flawless on the season. But when you got a guy and his duality and Josh Allen, he's a playmaker. Get it done with the legs, obviously get it done with the arm. And I think the key in that game, and really any matchup against Kansas City this season, success of the tight end. Now, Dalton Kincaid is dinged up right now. Did not practice today. We're going to see if he can return to practice in time. But the Bills have depth at the tight end position. This could be a sneaky good game for you fantasy fans out there for Dawson Knox. Could be a real X factor and difference maker in the game. Of course, James Cook, I think, is going to be active over the middle of the field as a pass catcher. Khalil Shakir is a guy that can move the chains routinely, working outside the numbers or across the dirty portion of the field as well. But I think Buffalo is going to win this thing straight up. I'm going to lay the 2.5. They, again, actually blemish Kansas City for the first time this season, because eventually luck's got to turn, and that has been the most fortunate team in the NFL this season, that being Kansas City.
Brad, when you look at the New Orleans Saints-Cleveland Browns game, obviously a ton of interest here in that matchup. Jameis Winston coming on back to town. We're hoping he is that turnover machine we're used to seeing. Had a rough game last outing, but was really good against the Baltimore Ravens. So who knows what Jameis we get this week. But basically, a pick'em game. Saints just -1. How you like this game?
Yeah, a complete toss-up, guys. What kind of version are we going to get really of both these squads? I think the key to this game is going to be Nick Chubb. I'm a frequent patroner of the Chubb Club, getting bottle service behind the velvet rope. He has to be living up to the expectations and the hype coming off that catastrophic knee injury. It's just a medical marvel for him to even be on the field and performing at a semi-high level. But, coming off a bye week, got a couple of games under the belt. This is a game he can have a lot of success in, because New Orleans has really struggled defending the run this season. From a fantasy perspective, they've allowed the third most fantasy points to running back position on the year. And, Lonte Taylor outside is another guy he can really take advantage of. In this secondary of New Orleans, Cedric Tillman has really turned up his game. They get rid of a marquee guy there, Amari Cooper, now a member of the Buffalo Bills. And it's the Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman show. Right. And Winston, he gobbles up the W's, but I know he also turns them all over frequently, but I think Tillman's going to be another one of those X factors as well. So I got Cleveland winning this thing.
Ouch.
We'll see what happens with the New Orleans Saints. Offensively, will MBS have a similar output that we saw last week. You know, very successful hands transplant surgery. I jokingly said that he underwent.
You've watched him like I have.
I know. It was a marvelous game. I give all the credit in the world last week, but that was a shocker special. He caught all three targets and two for touchdowns. So I give Cleveland the slight advantage because of Tillman and because of Nick Chubb.
I got a friend of mine text me. I guess he got coined on this game. You talk about two schizophrenic teams, Nebraska-USC. Man, there's no way you can take their blood pressure on either one because you don't know what you're going to get from either team.
No, you don't. Nebraska has just been a roller coaster ride all season long, and you could say the same, obviously about USC. The biggest issue, I think, really for the Trojans is on the defensive side. They've really come unraveled here of late, and also generous, especially to Stu passing games. And in Nebraska, definitely with a quarterback play, can play up to a high level. But you look at USC on the season right now; they're number 111. In the country in dropback EPA defense. That's inexcusable. That is irreversible. And this seems like a spot that Nebraska can really take advantage with their quarterback play if they limit the turnovers. So I'm going to give the advantage to the Cornhuskers here. I think SC is laying 6.5 in that one, but I think Nebraska is going to play well, and I think they're going to cover. I'm not going to sprinkle a little action on the money line, but I do like the Huskers, again, to cover that 6.5.
Brad, I want to bring it back to the NFL because, we hate the Dirty Birds, and I'm not the biggest fan of Sean Payton, but I'm going to be rooting for him this week as the Broncos take on the Falcons in the Mile High City. They're 2.5-point favorites, and I don't know if I trust that line or not. What are you thinking?
Yeah, look, I think Atlanta's going to play a damn good game, guys, to be honest with you. You know, Denver is a team that they should have won last week. They played a marvelous game from beginning to end on both sides of the ball against the Kansas City Chiefs. They've been an excellent defensive team on the back end all year. Thank you, Patrick Surtain. It's been one of the elite cover corners in the NFL. But up front is where they're susceptible. They're only number 18 in rush EPA the last five games. And you look at Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algiers. You guys know that is one dynamic 1-2 punch. Bijan can beat you between the tackles, can work outside the tackles in the pass game, really chew up some real estate. And Algiers is one of the elite tackle breakers in the NFL. He's top five this season in yards after contact per attempt. So put all together, I would not be remotely stunned if Atlanta goes in to the Mile High City and steals a victory. So I like the Falcons plus the points, and I love all the shares I can get of Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algiers in this contest.
Boy, they both looked good last week. I don't know why Atlanta didn't run them more, but whatever. Tennessee, Georgia, and this line is inflated, certainly because of the question mark at quarterback. Doesn't look, some reports, Nico won't play against the Bulldogs. Your thoughts on the Volunteers playing the Bulldogs?
Yeah, what version of the Bulldogs are we going to get, right?
They're schizophrenic too.
Right now. Yeah, I mean, it's totally schizophrenic. So they've been a roller coaster ride. And, your guess is as good as mine. What team's going to show up? They're barely outside looking in the college football playoff ranking that was revealed last night. I like Tennessee plus the points here. I think they're catching 8.5, 9.5, depending upon where you're shot. But, the Vols defense is still elite. Number 2 in all of college football at EPA per play D. Georgia's top 10 in EPA offense, top 10 in EPA defense. When they play cohesively and, with full strength, they can beat anybody in the country. But I just don't know what you're going to get. They are indeed the Forrest Gump box of chocolates. And I've got more faith right now than Tennessee Volunteers catching the 8.5 or 9.5. So give me the balls and the points, guys. I think they cover.
Brad, the Packers and the Bears looked as though once Jaden hit that deep throw, that they've been in a free fall and everything's starting to fall apart. And the Packers are damn good. I mean, a really good football team. I was surprised this line wasn't higher, to be honest with you. What it is right now, 5 or 5.5. But Bears, Packers, to me, man, the Bears, they have really stumbled and fallen. I don't know if they can get up at this point.
Well, what's interesting is the line has shifted southward. It opened at 6.5, and a lot of people were waiting, including me, for it to get to 7, 7.5, because I was going to fire a ticket on the Bears But at 5.5, I may stay away from it. But there's a lot of money coming in right now on the Windy City representatives. The Bears defense is still excellent. They are top 10 in EPA per play defense. It's just on the offensive side of things. Caleb Williams has been a train wreck. I can point the finger at Shane Waldron, who got asked this week all you want. But the offensive line has done no favors. He's done himself no favors by hanging on the football too dang long in the pocket there. But he's still got some elite weapons around him. And DJ Moore, they got to get more involved creatively. Keenan Allen is a great possession receiver. Cole Kmet has completely vanished. They were utilizing him earlier in the season and really stepped away from that. And DeAndre Swift has been a very adept three-down running back. And Roma Dunze has made some splashy plays as a rookie out of Washington. So if the Bears can somehow galvanize against their hated arch rival in the 209th meeting of these two squads, they could stun the world and heal some of the wounds of all the Bears fans there in Chicago, because they haven't scored a damn touchdown on 21 straight series.
That's unreal.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I will say this. If I had a lean, it would be Bears plus 5.5 right now. I'm going to stay away from it and hope the spread rebounds back to what it opened at 6.5.
Brad, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, always love your coverage, brother. You do a super job. Thank you so much.
Muchas gracias, amigos. Enjoy the action this weekend.
All right. And that was the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. He covers the NBA and the Pelicans. Ollie Cosell. Ollie, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Absolutely. I always enjoy talking to you guys. I just wish I had better news, right, regarding the Pelicans.
No, how's your hamstring?
Wait
Ollie.
A minute. Don't tell me somebody else got hurt.
No, not since, right? Yeah, not since Jose Alvarado went down, but okay. Yeah, it just seems like the next one's around the corner, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Ollie, when you look at – I'm going to jump to Oklahoma City because, you know, we see the dysfunction that's happening now with all the movement and you're getting all these injured players and having to kind of piece together a B team. But in watching Oklahoma City, even last year, you saw them kind of make that run – a little bit into the playoffs, and are you really young basketball team understanding how to play in big moments? I think they are legit a team that could win everything this year or be at least in the finals against Boston.
You're not going to get any disagreement from me. Look, I mean, they won the West last season. Their guys, you know, their young players really grew up. First time experiencing real playoff basketball. And you're right, they probably wanted to go on a longer run than they did. But again, stepping stones, right? You've got to go through it, experience it, and they did that. So now they're in prime position again, getting off to a good start. And really, the only thing holding them back at this point, right, is they're missing a couple of key guys. Isaiah Hartenstein, a center that they signed in the offseason, and now Chet Holmgren, a guy they relied on to man the middle. He's out too. So it'll be curious to watch them tonight, right, because they're going to play ultra small. And guess what? The Pelicans have largely been playing smaller than most of their competition so far.
Ollie, when you look at this game, obviously the Pelicans massively undermanned, so many injuries. But what do they got to do in this matchup to maybe pull the upset in OKC against a team that's atop the Western Conference that's obviously clicking right now?
Yeah, what's been disheartening is the Pelicans have had real chances for wins, right, in, say, three of the last five games. They were up against the Hawks, the Trailblazers, and, of course, the Nets in the fourth quarter of all those games. Could have walked away with wins, but the offense failed. And the defense just hasn't been up to par like it was in the previous season. So I think the recipe is simple. Just keep doing what you're doing, because the Pelicans have largely been holding their own on the glass. The problem is they're just not creating enough good shots, easy opportunities, and really that's shown up during the last, what, 4 or 5 minutes of games, right? Brandon Ingram's getting double teamed, and suddenly who do you turn to? Well, fortunately, Trey Murphy's back. Brandon Boston's been playing great. You're just going to need great games from probably all three of those, and combined with being smart, right? Avoid the turnovers and get back to standing in front of your men, because right now, Pelicans are just getting destroyed in the paint and giving up way too many open three-point shots. So the defense has to be on par. The offense just has to find something they can rely on to close out a game.
Through all this turmoil, Ollie, Brandon Boston, he's been a revelation here of what he's been able to accomplish. And I think sometimes through difficult times, you find out something about a player you really didn't know. He's the biggest surprise to me of how well he's played.
Yeah, honestly, I think he's probably the best two-way player in the league. The fact the Pelicans grabbed him off the waivers when the Clippers let him go says a lot, right? So that means they valued him. And the fact that he's just stepped right in and suddenly become one of the team's best scorers, one of the most reliable players. And really, he's doing more than just scoring, right? He's facilitating, bringing the ball up the court, and he's getting you a couple steals usually per game too. So he's giving you everything and then some. So yeah, he's been a bright spot. Even Missy has been a bright spot, even though consistency still eludes him. But no, you're hopeful that Missy, he'll turn to become that center that the Pelicans have always needed since really Tyson Chandler left. And for Brandon Boston, right, the Pelicans traded away a lot of depth over the summer. So finding a guy like Boston, you've got to believe that they're going to sign him to a regular contract sometime this summer and keep him around past this year.
Obviously, this latest of games that they have coming up, Ollie, is a brutal stretch for the Pellies. And you look at the injuries. Is there any hope to get some or any of these guys back during the next couple of games? Or are they kind of SOL, as you would say?
No, Steve, there's some hope that over the, say, the next week to maybe week and a half, so maybe in another three or four games, that we'll see hopefully at least two of the three.
Okay.
Jordan Hawkins, C.J. McCollum, and Herb Jones.
Right.
Those guys' returns are all around the corner. And with Hawk, it's just a back. He had some back spasms. So I'm pretty sure we'll see him. I'm curious if C.J. McCollum and at least Herb Jones, one of those two, can return, because they've been out for about almost close to 2 weeks, and their original timetables were about 2 to 3, 2 to 4 weeks, right? So they're knocking on the door of returns too.
Ollie, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Really appreciate it, bud. And listen, stay healthy.
Right.
You're too close to that court.
Mike, that's definitely the word, right? I'm worried about when I walk downstairs, right? Something, I'm going to pull a hamstring or something.
Ollie, thanks so much for your time.
Appreciate you, man.
Always do a great job, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Steve, have a good rest of your night.
All righty. That was Ollie Cosell. He covers the NBA and the Pelicans. Always does a great job of breaking things down. And, boy, Oklahoma City, 9-2 entering this game. I think tomorrow they'll be 10-2. We'll be back to finish it off here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. We're finishing up here on hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Steve Geller, Cullen Steele. Want to tell everybody, hey, come join Steve and I tomorrow night. Special edition of Sports Talk. We live from the Treasure Chest Casino in Kenner. And this will be the countdown to the Thursday night game. And you can hear that game also right here on the Big 870 WWL. Washington Commanders, Philadelphia Eagles. That's Steve's second favorite team.
I'll definitely be looking forward to this matchup for sure.
And we get to see Jaden again. So come on out. Steve and I were at the Game Bar and Grill.
Good grub.
Add the Treasure Chest. It'll be from 4 to 7. tomorrow night. Steve, your Eagles playing pretty well.
Yeah, and
despite the head coach.
Right, I was going to say there's still so much angst towards the head coach in Philadelphia. It's funny with fans, but yeah, they've been finding ways to win. If they would just run the dang football a little bit more, I think they'd be all right. Just keep feeding Saquon, please.
Yeah, the thing about it is, but I want Saquon healthy for the stretch.
I hear you, right.
And, you know, their only competition there is the Commanders. That's why this is an important game, okay? That's a head-to-head meetup here. And I wondered a bit about Lattimore, but then thinking about it on this short week, I think, you know, they decided they'd give him another kind of mini-bye and get him ready for the next game.
Well, it shows Saints fans at least he wasn't playing possum here and faking the injury.
No, but he does take a long time to come back from injuries. I think that was always the question about him. It wasn't the injury, but how long it took back for him to get back in the lineup.
Man, he started out with that hip issue at training camp, and so we know the last two seasons for Marshawn have been rough too, and unfortunate because obviously a massively talented corner, but he can't stay on the field.
Let's see another game out of Peyton Turner too.
Please.
Man, come on, play hard and stay healthy. You saw some promise there out of Peyton Turner. I never said that before, but I'm telling you now. That game showed some promise in why he was picked where he was. They overdrafted him, in my opinion,
right?
Because I didn't have him as a first-round pick. But you could see the talent in him. But he got to stay healthy.
Yeah, we're getting ready now for Pelicans basketball coming up next on WWL AM and FM. Hopefully they can stop this kid tonight, Mikey.
I hope so, but
I know, I'm not too hopeful.
But at least I get to watch Oklahoma City.
And it's on ESPN tonight.
How about that? So, you're on the big screen there. Thanks for everybody for listening. Again, tomorrow night, Steve Geller and I will be at the Treasure Chest Casino in Kenner. Come on by and visit us. And get ready, pregame show starting up next, the Pelicans going up against Oklahoma City. Tip-off time, 6:30. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more Sports Talk.
Go Birds!
It's better over here!
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.